It's Keith McPherson on The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
McPherson on the Fan. You got me till 2 a.m. Oh, I'm ready for this one. I mean, I like this kind of party. It's been a long time since I went to the stadium, raced back, and got on the Fan. This is the first time I've been on after the Yankees post game. I was getting drowned out by March Madness, the Brooklyn Nets. March Madness is over. The Brooklyn Nets are about to be done. We're about to have some fun. 87-7. 33-7, a 6, a 6, and two more 6s get you on the show. Yankees fans, Mets fans, Isles fans, Rangers fans, Knicks fans, fans of the Fan, come on in, pull up a seat, or if you're already seated in your car, turn me up. Let's go. The Yankees are good. You know that. Don't let anybody tell you that, oh, it's only a couple games. Oh, it's early. Oh, they're only playing the Marlins. Let people enjoy things. This is a great start coming off of last year. You can't ask for a better start coming off of last year. That's another series win. They have the most wins in Major League Baseball. Oh, who looks at the standings in the second week? Me, stupid. What are you talking about? I look at the standings every day. I look at the scores every day. This counts now. It's for real now. So I say that to say this, man. I'm proud of the New York Yankees. Win ugly. They're 5-0 in one-run games. They just showed you we can win a close game. We can win a high-scoring game. We can win a blowout game, shutout game. We could lose a blowout, shutout, whatever. They have found ways to win, and they're already improving, right? You're looking at the starting pitching. You're saying, hey, we need length out of the starting pitching because Yankee fans are super pessimistic and they want to poke holes into things. And they're saying, oh, well, this bullpen is going to be taxed. This bullpen is going to be burnt out. Why are you jumping ahead? I say this every single night. We take it day by day, series by series. Just stop right there. We don't even have to talk about weeks. This is only the second week. So many fans want to talk about, oh, well, this bullpen is going to be burnt out by May. We're not in May. We're barely in April. 877-337-6666. It's the most wonderful time when you have baseball and basketball and hockey. The draft is coming up. We'll have football again. But, you know, starting with the New York Yankees, as I see people calling to talk Yankees first, maybe you're driving from the ballpark. Shout out to anybody that I saw at the ballpark, anyone that said hello, anyone that said what's up. It's awesome to get to break that wall down and meet callers and meet fans of the Fan and meet people that listen and, you know, shake your hand and ask you your name and say, hey, yeah, I'm on tonight. What do you mean you're on tonight? Like, I'm on tonight. Like, I'm about to leave here. I'm about to drive to the station. I'll be good. I've done this a bunch. Actually, my favorite 2 a.m. show is exactly this. When I can leave, go to the stadium, watch the game live, get the vibe and energy, you know, the vibe energy in the Bronx with the Yankees and then bring it here to the Fan. And I showed up today with my Bronx dog shirt on and my Beware of Dog sign. I am a fan. And Yankee Stadium security, I mean no harm. I come in peace. I'm not doing anything. I promise. I am not hurting anybody. I'm not trying to bother anybody. I swear to you, I am just there to root for the Yankees. That's it. I want to win. I'm not trying to bother anybody. I'm not trying to sit in anybody's seat. I don't want no smoke. I don't want any type of commotion or ruckus with y'all. And I get it. We're back in the Yankee Stadium, and I know security has to establish dominance over the visitors. But, I mean, I want to have a good time. I want to watch my team, help my team. My team get a win. Happy my team get a win. Do what I can do to help my team. I stand up. I clap. Two outs, two strikes. I say, let's go Yankees. You never hear me say anything about Altuve. I don't swear in there. I clap. I cheer. And the Yankees win. Play Frank. We sing. We head out. That's it. That's it. So we'll talk about the Yankee game with the fans today, tonight. And we'll also talk about the Mets game. I meant to load up on bets with the Braves. But since it took me like an hour and a half to drive from Jersey to the stadium, I didn't get to do that. But I just knew that the Braves, after almost coming back last night, they were going to sleep on that one and come back with a vengeance today. And honestly, it was 6-0 in there. I'm watching the out-of-town scoreboard. And I thought that the make-it-happen Mets were coming back. And I'm glad I didn't put any bets down. But I probably would have cashed some parlays. Like, Acuna, two nights ago, did nothing. I would have actually hit with him, Albies, a couple other guys. But you know what? Another one-run game. And the Mets try to make it happen late. They make it interesting. For the Met fan watching these games, call me up and tell me how you feel. Are you not entertained? Are you not having fun? Especially against the Braves, at least the feeling of feeling like, hey, three runs in the eighth, two runs in it, like, we're coming, like, that's exciting this early on. This team does have some fight. This team's not dead in the water. The Mets are a team that I think can get back to 500, and they're not whole yet. They're missing a couple pieces, and I just think that, you know, a lot of people wanted to bury them. A lot of people wanted to say what they were. On the opposite side of not letting the Yankee fan enjoy their success early, man, some of you got to delete those tweets, retract some of those statements, and watch the season. And watch where these guys go. So, yeah, I mean, they were down 6-0. You know, some fans might say, ah, whatever, I don't care that they came back, they still lost. They're fighting, and they're figuring it out. They're figuring it out, and guys are getting right, right? Pete Alonso, count it, in the stat sheet. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it. The Knicks. The Knicks get a win tonight against a team that they just lost to. I've been having a hard time betting the Knicks, and I'm done betting the Knicks until we get to playoffs because they are hard to figure out. Just this past week, right, they lose to the Thunder. They lose to the Bulls. I thought they were going to lose to the Kings. I took the Kings. They beat the Kings. And I thought they were definitely going to lose to the Bucks. They beat the Bucks. And then tonight, I didn't watch the game, but I was keeping an eye on it in the stadium. They face the Bulls again. And just Jalen Brunson, for him, I just don't understand him. For him to be his height, his size, but to be so dominant and to have this emergence over the last 2 years, it's incredible. I tip my cap to him and the work that he's put in, his dad for coaching him up. I mean, the Knicks for believing in him. What a steal of a deal that they got that kid for. And I'm not going to tell you what they can or can't do, right? That's what I said last night when I got on talking about, hey, they beat the Bucks. They got OG back. Chris Middleton went down, and that made me think about the NBA playoffs and how every year in the playoffs, a starter goes down, some team emerges, some team takes a step back, and Julius Randle, you know, when we got the Julius Randle news last week, it felt like a big blow. It felt like a hit. I don't want to say a death blow, but it felt like a big blow to your chances. Man, they haven't been playing with Julius for months now. They have a different identity. Their identity is Brunson can give you 40, 45. He can give you 45, 8, 3. He can give you 35 to 45 points a night. And then you have role players around him. And have an OG back. OG had 24 tonight. DiVincenzo, 21 tonight. All the starters are in double digits. Josh Hart with 17. He's also going to give you 13 rebounds. And now you have a mix of Isaiah Hartenstein and Mitchell Robinson back. Don't forget about Mitchell Robinson. I know he's not dominating, but he's still a big body. He's still an added defender. Let's see how it shakes out. Man, we're about to have fun. We're about to have a great spring into summer. We are about to have a blast on the Fan, online, in the arenas, ballparks, watching New York sports. We have teams. We have competitive teams. We have hope. And it seemed like there was no hope not too long ago. And maybe you went to UBS tonight. Maybe you went out to Long Island night tonight. Maybe you went to see some puck tonight. And I'm in Yankee Stadium, and fans are chirping about, hey, the Islanders are up 3-0. And right away, I'm like, well, the Rangers fans in the stadium are trying to say, what does it matter? I don't really care. And I'm like, well, the Islanders fans care, so that's a win for the Islanders. The Islanders defeat the Rangers 4-2. The Knicks defeat The Bulls, 128-117. And the Yankees find a way to win a one-run game again. They're 5-0 in one-run games. They're leading the league with 10 wins. They win with Ian Hamilton and Clay Holmes and Doogie the dog. I knew today was the day. I did not. I had this dog sign, this beware of dog sign. I had this beware of dog sign ready for opening day. I didn't bring it to opening day. I didn't bring it to Saturday night coming off of being shut out opening day. And I was like, let me do that tonight. And let me wear the dog shirt. And who homers? Alex Verdugo. Stay tuned for my Casamigos big shot of the night. I feel like we got to do some double shot, maybe triple shots. We got to split it up. But yeah, and even the Mets. That's a game that they were down, obviously, 6-0. They could have been shut out. They could have just said, we got nothing. But they did show some fight. And if you watched the whole game, you felt like, hey, maybe we have a chance. And it's good to see your guy, Pete, get right tonight. So the Mets lose to the Braves only by one, 6-5. But it sets up the rest of that series. 877-337-6666. I see we've got Mets, Yankees, Knicks calls already. I'm not wasting any time. Let's go to Richard in Uniondale. Richard, you're on the fan.
Hello, am I on the air?
You're on the air.
All right, that's pretty nice. I mean, honestly, if there's anything I've learned from watching these Mets games, it's just be quiet and just watch the game. It was surprising that we even came back in the first place, man. Like, wow.
Yeah, a lot of people turn the game off. You could turn the game off in the sixth inning and say, I'll watch the Knicks. I watch the Yankees. I watch, Then you.
I mean, to
you
be honest, yesterday, I think when Marcelo Ozuna hit that home run, mm-hmm. I believe towards the end, like the ninth inning, I just turned off the game. I was about to vomit. Next thing you know, we won. I'm just like, whoa.
Well, the almost home run that Tyrone Taylor caught, right? That one almost lost the game for you. But nah, they're competing. So that's what you want to see, right? Instead of saying, oh, this team sucks, they don't have the guys, they're bums, this is a punt season. Now that they're getting into the flow of the season, you're seeing that they actually can hang. They can compete. The Braves are one of the best teams in baseball. They hung with them both nights. 1-1, lost one. Let's see how the rest of the
series
goes.
I just hope our bullpen gets better. Like, our pitching needs to get better, man. Because it's inconsistent. That's what I
think they're trying to figure it out. Julio Teheran, see ya. I think they're going to mix and match guys. Obviously, they have a plan for guys two nights ago. Your top guys were all down. I think that as the season develops, as we get further along, you're going to have some distinct roles for guys. And when you get into certain games, you'll know what to expect. And they have a plan. Stearns has a plan. And Mendoza's following the plan. And at least you have, like, some direction. It might not be the best guys. They might not be, playing to the back of their baseball cards yet, but it seems like there's some structure.
Hey, man, all I got to say is only the Lord knows what's going to go on, man. Shout out to all the Yankees fans. Y'all are 10-2, best team ever. Just shout out to you guys, man. And for us Mets fans, we just got to thug it out, man. Just got to thug it out.
Yeah, it's baseball.
No point in being mad. It's just going to raise your blood pressure. You're going to die of a heart attack by the middle of the season.
No, nobody's going to die. Richard, stop that. What are you talking about? We're just watching a game, bro. We're just watching a game. Nobody's going to die. They're 4-7. It's okay. This is a four-game set. So far, each side has one win. Let's see what happens tomorrow night. Let's see what happens Thursday. And yeah, the Yankees are the best team ever in the history of sports. And they're starting to look the part. This is what it's supposed to feel like. The Yankees win. They haven't lost a series. They find ways to win. TW, the will to win. Let's not lose a game. Let's not blow the game. Carlos Rodon, good to see you. Nobody in attendance to boo the guy. No bozo showing up to the Bronx to boo the guy. You know why? Because we root for the guys in the pinstripes. Jeff is in Bergen County, or from Bergen County. I think he was there to root for the pinstripes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. A longtime Yankees fan, about 50 years, longtime Yankees fan, just drove back with my son. Hey, you know what? I agree. Like, this has been a great, great start of the season. 10-2 is better than, 1-10, like the Marlins. So,
Yeah.
Everybody say it's early. Well, yeah, it gets early fast, right? So you want to get these wins in.
Yeah, and the math is the same later, right? These wins count in September.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's funny. I was driving home with my son. I just dropped him off. And he said to me, he goes, Dad, I don't think the Yankees struck out like two or three times. And I'm like, you know what? I think you're right. And he looked it up, and they struck out only three times.
They are seeing.
And that's a huge difference.
The most pitches in baseball.
Yeah.
They are looking back at the umps more than ever. Like, you sure that's a strike?
Absolutely. This is the Soto effect. I'm telling you, this guy.
And James Rawson. They have a hitting coach. They actually have a hitting coach that I think is telling these guys in meetings for months now, you know, change your approach, change your stance, change your swing, how to attack guys. They're facing AJ Puke tonight.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, how many games did we watch last year? I saw 10, 12 strikeouts. I was like pulling my hair out.
Because they had like 10, 12 bums on the roster.
Oh, but this is a huge. Huge difference, and I'm telling you, Soto makes a difference. Verdugo has made a difference.
Volpe.
I think it's rubbed off on Volpe.
Everybody's so ready to write Giancarlo Stanton off. He's on it right now. He's seeing everything well.
Absolutely. Totally. I totally agree. So, you know what? We'll keep our fingers crossed. It looks good. You know, like I said, I've been watching the Yankees for 50 years. This has been one of the most exciting. I actually bumped up my game plan this year. I actually bought more games because I was like, this is exciting.
And now you
feel
like that was a good buy. You feel like that was a good investment, right? You went to the game tonight. There was 37,000 plus on a Tuesday.
On a Tuesday night, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, so we'll keep it going. I appreciate it, man. Thanks.
Thanks for the call, Jeff. Yeah, 877-337-6666 if you've arrived home safely from the Bronx. I arrived to the Fan safely from the Bronx. I was in there as well. And, not too many places in baseball can you see 37,000 plus on a Tuesday night. Let's see how many people pulled up to Truist Park in Atlanta for the Braves. 32,000. Yeah, no, it's just different around here. Let's go to Ken from Hackensack, New Jersey on the Fan. What's up, Ken?
Hey, Keith. What's up, brother?
You know, hanging out.
Hey, I met you at the game tonight. It was nice to shake your hand and
I remember. That's why I asked your name.
Yeah. It was a good game, though. Great game. I would love to see it. You know, the one thing I may say about the Yankees is I want to maybe see Volpe in that one spot over Torres. But besides that, it's picture perfect at this point, and I think we got a good thing going on in the Bronx. They're hitting like crazy.
Yeah, it's not perfect, but baseball isn't perfect, and it's too early in the season to demand perfection, but they're winning. They're finding ways to win. What else can you really ask for?
No, nothing really. It was a beautiful night. It was a great time. I enjoyed it.
Well, I'll see you around, Ken. Good to meet you. Thanks for saying hello. Well, let me see. There was a quote today from Aaron Boone. I'm trying to find it on Twitter. I'm pretty sure Aaron Boone said something along the lines of, and I'll go find it during the break. I'm pretty sure Aaron Boone said something along the lines like, when we look at Anthony Volpe's career 10 years down the line, that's where he projects to be at the top of the leadoff spot. Let me find that quote. We'll go look for some more little nuggets and things from the Yankees game, from the Mets game, from the Knicks and the Isles. And coming up next, my Casamigos big shot of the night. Keith McPherson on the Fan. KM to 2 a.m. returns right after this.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Wakanda! Welcome!
The Casamigos Big Shot of the Night is brought to you by Casamigos Tequila. Casamigos Tequila is brought to you by those who drink it. And tonight we got to pull up a double shot. First one for that dog, Doogie the Dog, Alex Verdugo. Man, I did not want this guy to be a Yankee. When they first floated the idea of trading Glaber for him, I said, no, no, hell no. Man, don't judge a dog by his cover. I didn't like the way he looked in Boston, the grills, the chains. He wore number 99. He was getting into fights with the left field bleachers. But man, having him as a Yankee, wearing number 24, one chain only, he's fit in. Coming off a night where he was on base four times, had three hits. He comes in tonight. I'm standing there with the Beware of Dog sign and a dog shirt. Everyone's in there, woo, 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 as he comes up. And he comes up, and he hits a solo shot to start the scoring for the Yankees. So many people were ready to say, this guy can't hit after the first two series. Chill, chill. Cashman got us a couple lefty bats. They're going to be all right. Give it time. And, you know, speaking of dogs, this is a little puppy dog. That's not a puppy dog at all. He looks like a puppy dog, but he's a big dog disguised as a puppy dog that can run with all the big dogs in the NBA. JB, Jalen Brunson, I don't know what this kid is. Like, I don't know what to compare him to. He's so polished. He can always get to his shot. He can always create a shot. He's got so much in his bag. He can shoot. He can get to the mid-range. Like, the Knicks got one, man. That guy is never going to another team. He's finishing his career as a Knick. And I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do putting the Knicks on his back through the playoffs without Julius Randle, without having to defer to Julius Randle, without Julius Randle chucking up a three. Tonight, he comes through with 45 points, 8 assists, 3 rebounds. And he's just a steady, constant force. He plays 42 minutes. He's the leader of the team. He's just somebody that you could count on. He never has an off night. Maybe one a year. Like, he never has a night where he's just like, he can't put the ball in the hoop. That's what he does. Casamigos, big shot of the night, a double shot for Jalen Brunson and Alex Verdugo. 877-337, a six, and two more sixes. Get you on the show. Up, up, and away we go. Don't turn off your radio. Josh is in Smithtown. Josh, you're on. My bad. Let's go to Josh in Smithtown. You got it, Josh. Hey, yo, Joshy.
Hey, you there?
Yeah, are you there?
My bad, Keith. So one of the guys kind of stole my thunder a little bit with the Volpe leading off question, but one of the questions I wanted to ask you is one of the things they discussed on the midday show today, which was, do you think the Yankees will fall out of first place at any point in the season?
Possibly. I don't think it's going to be the Boston Red Sox that knock them off, but I think there's going to be a stretch of games where the Orioles just, you know, really do their thing or whatever. Like, it's baseball. I can't call it. But what I like is they're the first place Yankees to start, and they have the opportunity to build a lead. And I think your thoughts become things. And if this keeps going the rest of the month into next month, their thought is going to be, hey, we're trying to win the division. We can't let go of this lead, and they're going to fight even harder. They're already fighting. So, yeah, I think there's a chance that they could drop out. That's baseball. We've seen it. But it feels good coming off of last year when they were a fourth-place team at times, or finished fourth-place, fifth-place team at times. It felt like they just, you know, were so many games back. It feels good to start off this way.
So, and I guess that kind of leads me to the flip side of it, which was for the Mets, do you think that they will see 500 again? I know baseball is a streaky sport, but I appreciate your input on sports.
I do. I do. I mean, right now they're going toe-to-toe with the big bad bully in school, the big kid that's been bullying them for the last couple years. And they're scoring runs down there in Atlanta, and they're not getting punked. And so if they can dance with the bully, that gives them confidence to go on and face the Royals. And I know the Pirates are off to a great start, but whatever. It's baseball. We don't know. Maybe they come back down to earth. Maybe everybody is cheering Francisco Lindor on, and the Mets come back to Citi Field and sweep the Royals and sweep the Pirates because there's so much positivity in the air. I don't know.
I don't know about that one either. But I guess my last question then is, do you think they bought a bill of damaged goods with J.D. Martinez, or do you think this is just a blip on the radar for him?
Nah, I just think, you know, the guy's getting up there in age, and I don't know when he's going to get right, but he's a professional hitter. He's a champion. Obviously, Yankee fans have seen a bunch of him. I think that he is going to be the bat that they need. I think you'd much rather see him at DH than DJ Stewart or Daniel Vogelbach or Darren Ruff or, you know, all these other characters that they've had over the last couple years. I think J.D. Martinez, I don't know how old he is now, 34? He's just old. He's just older in baseball terms. He's 36. So, no, it's not. And Steve Cohen's got so much money. It's not like the deal that they got for him, it's all good. We'll see when he gets back. I don't know the last report on it. I mean, he should be ready to go. All he's got to do is stand in the box. He gets a shot for his ailing back, and he's delayed. Well, I guess he took some swings, and his back is not so good. But I think he'll get to a point where he's ready to go, and he's a professional hitter. He'll be able to help the Mets.
Last question, Keith, is how do you deal with the trolls on Twitter? Because I saw them coming after you pretty hard the past few days, and I'm just curious how you keep an even keel.
I don't know. It's all entertainment to me. It's all wrestling. It's all fun and games. And, like, I troll, and then, you know, they try to come back at me. And it just depends. I think when I was getting at them, what was it, Saturday morning? I just was, like, kind of hungover because I went to the Drake concert Friday. And I checked my Twitter, and, like, 7:20 in the morning, somebody's getting at me with a Mets logo and a bunch of Mets fans tagging me in a thread. And I'm like, all right, this is what you want? Like, I got you. If this is what you want to do, we could do this. I'm one of the only ones that'll actually engage with you on Twitter. It's not real to me. Like, in real life, people show me love. In real life, there's no smoke. In real life, nobody's like, oh, I hate you. No one listens to your show. You suck on their fan. Like, it's not a real thing, you know?
Yeah, people get real tough behind the keyboard, and they value their likes and their retweets a lot more than...
And these guys are hiding. These guys are talking to me without showing their face or government name. I'm on the internet as myself. I'm talking as myself. So it's, you know, it's more serious to them than me. Thanks for the call. So going back to what he started off with Volpe and, you know, the conversation that's been floating around the fan, I heard what Evan said. Evan said something along the lines of, no, now is the time that you put Volpe in the leadoff spot while things are going good. Don't put the pressure on him to perform when things are going bad. I don't think there's really going to be a stretch where things are going so bad. All right, look at all the hitters in the lineup. Like, I don't think there's going to be a stretch where the Yankees just go so cold and they ask Volpe to save them. I mean, last year they moved him around as a rookie with a bunch of bums like Willie Calhoun, Franchy Cordero, Jake Bowers, Billy McKinney, Greg Allen in the lineup. Where are those guys now? They asked him to, you know, lead off and do some different things last year, which I thought was unfair. Man, leave him in the bottom half of the lineup, 6, 7, whatever it might be, and let that kid keep showing up and doing it. I don't think he's going to change if you move him to the leadoff spot. I just don't think there's any rush. They're winning. They're in first place. First team to 10 wins. They haven't lost a series. There's no reason to change it. You don't just make changes to make changes. Now, Gleyber Torres is not a leadoff hitter. You know that. I know that. Any Yankee fan watching knows that. We want to see Gleyber get going. We know Gleyber would be, you know, I remember saying when we were putting together the lineup in the offseason, we were saying, hey, Gleyber Torres is going to be a sneaky bat in the bottom of the order. Some people were putting Volpe at 8-9. DJ is on the way back, and we'll see what he looks like. But I just don't understand the rush to put Volpe as the leadoff hitter when he's playing like an all-star right now in the second half of the lineup. The quote from Aaron Boone that Brian Hoke put out was exactly this. At 4:16 p.m. today, Brian Hoke tweets out, Aaron Boone on hitting Anthony Volpe leadoff. When we look up in 10 years, that's where his future is going to be, at the top of the lineup. Now, I don't think we'll have to wait till Anthony Volpe's 32 to see him be the leadoff hitter. I know some of y'all got to chill with the Jeter comparisons and wanting him to be Jeter so bad. Let it go, bro. Let people be who they are. Why do we always got to be somebody? Why is it, can't we be, like, the first of our own? Like, I can't be Steve Summers, bro. I can't be Tony Page. I can't be Art Russ or anybody else. I can only be me. Let people just be them, the first them. Let Anthony Volpe be Anthony Volpe. I like the version of Anthony Volpe that we have on this team. 877-337-6666. Let that man keep working on his craft. It's just a clear difference between watching him play last year and this year. He grew up. He matured a lot in the offseason. They clearly worked with him, and you know he put in the work. So we're already in the rush. Oh, well, we want more. We want more. Oh, well, put Volpe there. I know. I get it. As many pitches as he sees, as Juan Soto sees, then Judge, that would be a hell of a 1-2-3. But I don't think we got to push that button yet. Maybe that button gets pushed in the second half of the season, and then we roll that way going into October. Hey, everybody slow down. Everybody slow down. Josh is in Passaic on the fan. Hello, Josh.
Hey, Keith. What's up?
you know, rewatching the Yankee game now, reading through the box score from the Knicks and trying to read the like summary of what happened over there at UBS with the Isles and the Rangers.
Well, speaking of hockey, listen, it's just funny that the two teams, you know, the Islanders were behind us for a while, you know, while we were still trying to catch up, and they're in the spot now. The Penguins, we were ahead of for so long, and they're in one of the wild card spots. It just shows how much they could have, how much they could have gone there. And listen, Kobe, this is the reason that Jack was a little bit off, unless he just suffered this injury. I couldn't really tell from what they're saying, but it sounded like it was recently, but I hope it just, you know, over the year, and that just excuse for why it wasn't so much.
Frustrating year, disappointing year for the Devils and my Devil fans listening, and it is what it is. You wish some things happened sooner or went a little different way, but ultimately, it's not our year. It is what it is. They lose to the Maple Leafs 5-2 tonight.
Right, and I know maybe Jake Allen is okay, he's good, whatever. I guess we'll get to that at a different point. So then first with the Mets. Before this game, I mean, it's actually starting to feel good. I'm feeling good. I'm finally, you know, it's good to see a few W's. Yeah, there's four of the last five starting from that Tigers game. And look, and one issue I have is with Jeff McNeil. And what do you think is going on with him? Because this guy just doesn't hit with runners on base. And it's a killer because a lot of times you have the guys that before him are getting on, your base is loaded, first and second, the guy in second, this and that. These guys fly out. A little ground ball, strikeout machine with runners on. Listen, when nobody's on base, he'll get a few hits. But what do you think's going on with him?
I don't know if we'll ever see batting champ Jeff McNeil again. I don't know if we'll ever see hitting over 300 Jeff McNeil again. I know it's early. He just doesn't seem like that guy. Hopefully he's enjoying that Ford Bronco that Lindor got him. I don't know. He got paid. You need him to perform. He's one of your core guys that you need to be better. And I don't know if he can be. I don't know. I don't see it on a night-to-night basis. And I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know the recipe to get him back to being the flying squirrel and being this guy. I don't know. It just might not be possible. And you need it to be.
Right, especially with whatever this team's going through right now with the pitching. I mean, hopefully Stengel comes back soon. With J.D. Martinez, I'm fine with as long as the Mets take their time, because I can't wait to see a DH on this team who has 30-plus home run power, you know, 80, 90-plus RBI, can bat high 200s. And if you have to give him a few games to get ready for that, I'm fine giving him that. It's not the middle of the season. It's the beginning of the season. It's a few weeks in. And I just want a good DH for the Mets. We haven't had one of those. Would be the best thing I could ask for right now, because we got the closer, not the starters, but I just want to see him go into this lineup.
Oh, I mean, better him than Mark Vientos.
Right, and whoever else they have running around here. And then Keith, last point with the Knicks. You know, now that Giannis went down, what do you think their chance of getting ahead of the Bucks for that second seed is?
They have a shot. How many games are left here?
They got like four games, I think, or maybe three.
And, I mean, I think the Bucks just have bust written all over them.
And the Knicks have the Nets on the schedule, so that should help them.
You just had to throw that in there. I'm tired of talking about the Nets, bro. I'm tired.
Well, that's me. That's just one more time going at the Nets. Thanks for taking my call. Have a great night.
Thanks for the call, Josh. I cannot wait for the Nets season to be over. I have not wanted a season. Like, I thought I wanted the Yankees season to end last year. I want the Nets to be done. I wish they could just forfeit the last couple of games. Wrap it up. So, yeah, the Knicks have the Celtics, the Nets, and the Bulls. So that's definitely two wins. And that's a game against the Celtics in the other Garden, which Boston fans will tell you the real Garden. No, it's the other Garden. That's a game where you go in there and you try and send a message. You play hard, and they play hard, and you try and see who is who and what is what before you potentially meet down the road. I just think the Bucks are cooked. They did too much. They tried to get Damian Lillard, got him. Okay, and they thought, oh, man. And I knew that wasn't going to work, because in this NBA, the super team, the powering up, the joining forces, it's good in the summer, and then it just doesn't materialize anymore. And then Doc Rivers, right, pushing Griffin out to get Doc Rivers. Doc Rivers should have stayed on TV. I don't think the Bucks are doing anything this year. It's the Celtics. And if it's Knicks Celtics, man, when I look at the standings right now, the Knicks are right on the heels of the Bucks. Let me look at the Bucks' schedule the rest of the way here. I know Middleton got hurt in that Knicks. Like, they're getting older. They're a little bruised up. They got two against the Magic and one against the Thunder. They need to lose two of those games. And the Knicks need to win two of those games. And we'll see. We'll see. This is fun. We're going to see how it shakes out. We're going to see how it looks going into the playoffs with the Knicks, with the Rangers. 877-337-6666. There was something else I wanted to say about the Yankees. Oh, the Yankees lineup, right? Everybody in a rush to get Volpe to the leadoff spot. No, no, it's working because think about these pitchers, right? These pitchers have to pick. They have to face Juan Soto, Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton. And Giancarlo Stanton, don't look now, folks. He's hitting 250 and he's on it. You can't really, like, can't fool him. He's on it right now. They got to face Rizzo. And then Volpe's just sitting down there chilling. And when they throw a pitch that Volpe likes, he's smashing it. If they throw a pitch he can get to, he's hitting it the other way. Man, chill. This kid is looking like he could be an all-star. He's looking like he could be one of the top players in the game. He's batting 370. Let it be. Let it be. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. And I get it. I get you know, what Evan Roberts said about, oh, do it now. No. And I think Volpe is such an even-keeled kid. There isn't any pressure. He has fun playing baseball. And I said last night, nobody wants the Yankees to win more than Volpe. He's the biggest Yankee fan on the team. Like him and Garrett Cole. 877-337-6666. We will run through your calls after this quick break. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back. For all the dogs. As I'm watching Alex Verdugo round the bases, Yankee encore, Doogie the Dog, Snoop Dogg beat. Snoop Dogg. Yeah, you guys are taking this dog stuff way too far. My boy Loogie's gonna get upset. Tough, Loogie. Sorry, Loogie. There's another guy named Doogie. Took your whole swag. Took your whole shtick. I'm watching this guy bark right now in the dugout. He maximized it. He took it to another level fast. It's ours now. 877-337-6666. Keith McPherson on the Fan. You can reach me at Keith_McPherson on Twitter if you can't get through on the phone lines. I said I'm going to run through these calls, but shout out to Lou Goodman, who's writing to me. He says, love listening to you after the Yankee game. Actually, always love listening to you. One complaint. Wish Oswaldo Cabrera would start every game. Granted, he had problems last year, but I liked him in 2022. And of course, now, Lou from the Bronx, living in Cali. Now, I had this conversation. Shout out to Mark from WFAN, who pulled me into his section for a little bit, and everybody I got to meet over there in that section. We were talking about Oswaldo because we were talking about John Birdie. When John Birdie made the error, it was disappointing because I was rooting for Rodon. You know, I wanted to see Rodon, you know, have a clean inning. I don't think it was an error. I think it just didn't make the play. I think it got ruled a hit, whatever. But, you know, I was talking about John Birdie and talking about Oswaldo. They rode the hot hand with Oswaldo, which is great. There were some Yankee fans that said put John Birdie in the opening day lineup, even though he landed at 2 a.m. the day of opening day. Hadn't even met his teammates yet. And I said, no. Oswaldo's been with them for a couple years. Let Oswaldo get back-to-back opening days. Reward the kid because he's a nice kid. He's a good kid. Everybody likes him. All he does is smile, and he's happy to be there. And look what he did. He helped us win that series against the Astros. I know everybody gives it to Juan Soto, obviously his debut as a Yankee, but you know there were huge moments from Oswaldo tying the game, breaking the game up, and being that spark. And that's what I say about Oswaldo. You've heard me say this before. The kid plays with a flair. He's a spark plug. When the game gets stagnant, he can make a play. Now, it kind of cooled off, and also his glove, I don't know if his glove at third base is as consistent as John Birdie, who they literally made the trade for the night before opening day. So you can platoon those guys. You can figure out when you want to play those guys, but John Birdie's going to play. And newsflash, when DJ LeMahieu comes back, DJ's going to play because of his pedigree, because of his resume, because of his career and his contract. Oswaldo is a young guy. He's going to get the short end of the stick. And I know he's already become a fan favorite, but Birdie is a 34-year-old veteran that they gave something away to get. He's going to play too. So I have no problem with it. They are winning, and they have serviceable guys right now filling that hole at third base. They're going to have even more of, you know, shuffling to do there when DJ comes back. I don't know exactly when DJ comes back, but then you got DJ. He's going to possibly be your everyday guy. And if he starts off slow, then maybe Birdie plays or Oswaldo plays or whatever. God forbid somebody goes down. Oswaldo is ready to play five different positions, and he'll be there on the bench. 877-337-6666. Let's go to Frank in Bradley Beach. What's up, Frank?
Keith, what up, my man?
Yo, I was just looking at the – I did not get to the Delta Suite tonight. I was just looking at the picture of all you guys having fun at the game tonight.
What a night. I think everything you were just saying about Oswaldo is spot on. I mean, the guy got to catch up with him a little bit after the game. He's just always ready. He's always hungry. You know, I think the interesting thing with Verdugo, bro, he has the Bronx barking. I love everything about it. And, you know, it's funny because I think with Soto and Verdugo and Stroman, you remember when Johnny Damon came to the Yankees. He got a little corporate quick.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that happened. Like, I remember it. I felt it. I don't feel that with this group.
Nah.
You know, I feel these guys are... Because
in this day and age, Frank, with the social media and the young fans and the way these things evolve and go viral, there's no stopping it. What are they going to tell them to do? No. Hey, tone it down? No, you can't. It's working.
Keith, I'm 40 and I'm barking. I'm taking videos of myself barking and putting it on Twitter because I'm so excited.
And it's not awkward at all. It feels right.
It's not. I love it, man.
It's natural.
Love it. And what else is cool, last year, if you didn't watch the game, and you looked at the box score the next morning, you could tell how the game went just by looking at what Judge did.
Oh, yeah.
This year, I feel like you look, and every night it's somebody different, and you know, the bottom of the lineup with Oswaldo and Volpe and Houston was huge. And I'll tell you what else was nice tonight, a quick, uneventful ninth from Clay Holmes.
Oh, yeah. Ian Hamilton, solid. Rodon had a good outing. I mean, Judge worked his walks. They're showing you they can get it done in different ways. Yep. They're winning in different ways. It is a team. I tip my cap to Brian Cashman. I'm not writing him an apology. I'm not doing all that. But I tip my cap to him to making the necessary changes with not just personnel, but personality on this team.
Yep. And it's fun, bro. It's fun to watch. Look, man, I know we got some stuff coming up. We got Willie Randolph coming up at Baseline Social.
Yes, sir.
For that May 19th. Like, that's going to be a fun Yankees crowd. And I don't know, man. I'm just excited.
The vibes are high. They're where they're supposed to be. This is when we had the event with Aaron Boone. This is what we were all waiting for. This is what you ask for as a Yankee fan. Go out there, win games, play hard, represent us the right way, and it's been fun.
And Boone was right, man. He said a bunch of times, and he said, you know, we're not an 82-80 team last year, you know, and going into this year, I think the moves they made. I mean, bro,
just the balance in the lineup. When I asked him about the lineup and changing the lineup every day, he said, "Well, I didn't have the balance last year."
Yep.
Now we have it.
Yep. And guys are healthy. It's fun. And, dude, don't forget, like, Garrett Cole's coming back in, 6 weeks, hopefully.
I cannot wait.
Dominguez is a couple months out. Like,
right.
Imagine rotating him in as a fourth outfielder.
It can be even better.
Yep. So, look, man, hey, I'm always rooting for you and your family. There's nothing more fun than listening to the fan with Keith McPherson after a Yankees win while I drive myself back to the Jersey Shore. I mean, what a night, man. Fun, 3-2, just fun game. So, let's go, man. It's a good day for a good day, baby.
Yes, sir.
See everybody at Baseline Social, man. Can't wait.
Appreciate you, Frank. So, Frank is a guy who has done some Yankee events with me, and he's brought Oswaldo Cabrera down the shore. That's why I say, like, he's a good guy. He's a good kid. And the Yankees rewarded him back-to-back opening days getting the start. That's forever. And he seized his opportunity. They rode the hot hand. He cooled off some. Now you give somebody else another opportunity. And, you know, Frank mentioned Baseline Social. Man, Baseline Social, down where we're from in the shore area, it's an ocean port at the old Fort Monmouth. It's like a Vegas sports bar dropped into an old Army base. It's just a sick place to do events. And we did the meet and greet with Aaron Boone. And I asked Boone about this team. I asked Boone about the swag, the personality, the mojo, the energy that these guys were going to have. I asked him about changing the lineup every day. And, you know, he talked about the balance. And he talked about, like, as a manager, he's the one that's got to manage these guys' personalities. Right? Hey, Verdugo, you pimped that one a little bit too long, buddy. We didn't walk it off there. Next time, don't admire it for so long. Doogie, you got three chains. It's just a Yankee rule. There were Yankees that came before you. They weren't allowed to wear three chains. It's a one chain rule. Just tone it down a little bit. The barking, fine. The dog stuff, fine. But just, hey, Rodon, I know you don't want to come out of the game, but we got you. We got your back. We know you better than you know yourself. We know you want to prove something. We'll get there little by little. Come on. When we come get you, hand the ball over. It's working. I mean, so many Yankee fans had something to say about Marcus Stroman being signed. So far, what do you have to say about Marcus Stroman now? Anybody call me up and tell me your thoughts about Marcus Stroman. Some of you that actually said, some of you on The Fan that said, don't sign that guy. He's going to be a clubhouse cancer. Oh, that guy's a bozo. No. No. Incorrect. The Yankees are winning. They're having fun. They're smiling. They look like they have joy going about their business. It feels good. It feels good to watch a team that is excited about playing and winning. All right, before we go back to the Yankee calls, because we've got plenty, let's take this call from Jonathan in Somerset. What's up, John? You're on The Fan.
Hey, how are you doing, Keith?
Good.
I just want to tell you that I appreciate your show. So I wanted to talk about the Giants draft.
Yeah, I can't wait for the draft.
Trade for a quarterback. I think they should settle at their spot or trade back. Maybe take one of the receivers, either the guy from LSU or the guy from Washington. And what do you think about taking Spencer Rattler in the third or fourth?
Oh, yeah. I read this article on Spencer Rattler. Spencer Rattler was supposed to be one of the top quarterbacks coming out. He just, I don't know, went to the same school as the top quarterback coming out, Caleb Williams. I think if he gets in the right situation, he can turn into a pretty decent NFL quarterback. But going back to what you said, you know what? There's a lot of smoke screens, smoke and mirrors right now. Because as we get closer and closer to the draft, everybody wants to know what everybody's trying to do, wants to do. There's, you know, a couple teams at the top of the draft that we know need quarterbacks. Caleb Williams, he's going to the Bears. Done. But are the Commanders taking Jaden Daniels or Drake May? You keep hearing things about Drake May. You'll regret taking him. He's not that good. This guy. So is that smoke and mirrors? Or is that like what people are really seeing evaluating his tape? I think that at six, I said this tonight at the game. I was talking to a bunch of guys about this at the game. You don't want to be picking in the top 10. You don't want to be picking at six again. The last time the Giants picked at number six, they took Daniel Jones. And look what they ended up doing with Daniel Jones. Paying Daniel Jones. Do you want to go and get a J.J. McCarthy-type project that, like, his ceiling might be Daniel Jones? Like, I don't know if J.J. McCarthy is a surefire, guaranteed NFL star quarterback. If you're picking at six, you need a star quarterback at that spot. Not a project, not an if, not a maybe. And when I looked at him in Michigan, I know he has some intangibles. He's a leader. He won. They didn't run that offense through him. He didn't carry them to the national championship. He handed the ball off. That defense was a monster. I mean, Harbaugh is selling him, but Harbaugh, of course, is going to sell him, right? Harbaugh's picking at number five. So I just think the Giants are smarter than we're giving them credit for, and I think that they're playing into this game a little bit too. I heard Shane say that he's most prepared for this draft than any other draft, which makes sense. Year three here, I think if they can get a playmaker like Malik Nabers, they're going to take him. I don't think that they're going to. Right now, they're not ready to win right now anyway. You sign Drew Lock. You will have Daniel Jones at some point. I'm not sure Tommy DeVito's definitely going to come back. But, like, you're not taking J.J. McCarthy at six when there are other talented players that you can stash for later. You take that quarterback at six if you think that quarterback's going to help you compete right now. Like a C.J. Stroud, like a Bryce Young, but not really. You know what I'm saying? The teams that were quarterback needy and were trying to compete right now, like look at how quickly the Texans have rebuilt with C.J. Stroud. Now he's got weapons. Now they're making trades for Danielle Hunter. Like they got a bunch of people. I think that the Giants are in a spot where they know they're not beating the Eagles. They're not beating the Cowboys. They are actually in the rebuild. They were ahead of schedule the first year. They took a step back this year. Now they're actually in their rebuild where, yeah, J.J. McCarthy, in theory, could be a project that extends the leash of Shane and Daboll, but it also could be a big mistake. I feel like Daniel Jones was a little bit of a mistake. Still there?
Yeah, I 100% agree with you, and I think the kid from Washington is a mistake too.
Yeah, they're not taking Michael Penix Jr.
No.
If you want to take a young quarterback, take him later. I think at 6, you can trade back and get another pick. There's going to be somebody that, if the Vikings really want J.J. McCarthy, let them. Sure, hey, pick up the phone. Give us your first-round pick and second-round pick.
We need draft capital. We're in a rebuild. We're not a win-now team right now.
Right, so you don't need to take J.J. McCarthy, a project at quarterback who is all of a sudden. J.J. McCarthy was not hyped up like this through the whole football season last year. All of a sudden, he's Will Levis. All of a sudden, he's rising up the... No, thanks for the call, Jonathan. Like, and Will Levis, I think, is better than him. But you guys saw what happened to Will Levis last year. They thought Will Levis was going to the Colts. And then the Colts take Anthony Richardson, and Will Levis just fell. I was talking to some fans about the Jets with Brock Bowers. Of course, if they want to add offense and they want to get flashy and they want to get a playmaking tight end that's supposed to be a phenom at tight end, you could take him at 10. But why draft a tight end at 10? You saw Dalton Kincaid last year, and then you saw Sam Laporta. Like, you have Tyler Conklin. You have Jeremy Ruckert. I don't know. I feel like when you're drafting in the top 10, you draft the best player available that fits a position of need. And tight end, to me, isn't a position in the NFL where it's, I don't know. Who's the last tight end that was drafted? Like, you could draft Kyle Pitts. What has Kyle Pitts done? Like, there's no reason to draft a tight end that high. They can't affect the game that much. I guess if you feel like Aaron Rodgers can make that kid better, I don't know. I think they should go offensive lineman. You can never have too many offensive linemen. And Tyron Smith could help a young guy that is drafted 10th overall. Tyron Smith's on a one-year deal. He can teach this young man. And when he comes up lame with a calf, with a hamstring, with a shoulder, hey, young boy, there you go. It's your time. 877-337-6666. We're rolling. We're talking football, too. Obviously, Yanks. We can take some calls on the Mets. I see some people want to talk about the Rangers-Isles game. We'll do all of that and some Knicks right after this. For all the dogs. As I'm watching Alex Verdugo round the bases, Yankee encore, Doogie the Dog, Snoop Dogg beat. Snoop Dogg. Yeah, you guys are taking this dog stuff way too far. My boy Loogie's gonna get upset. Tough, Loogie. Sorry, Loogie. There's another guy named Doogie. Took your whole swag. Took your whole shtick. I'm watching this guy bark right now in the dugout. He maximized it. He took it to another level fast. It's ours now. 877-337-6666. Keith McPherson on the Fan. You can reach me at Keith_McPherson on Twitter if you can't get through on the phone lines. I said I'm going to run through these calls, but shout out to Lou Goodman, who's writing to me. He says, love listening to you after the Yankee game. I actually always love listening to you. One complaint, wish Oswaldo Cabrera would start every game. Granted, he had problems last year, but I liked him in 2022, and of course now, Lou from the Bronx, living in Cali. Now, I had this conversation. Shout out to Mark from WFAN, who pulled me into his section for a little bit, and everybody I got to meet over there in that section. We were talking about Oswaldo because we were talking about John Birdie. When John Birdie made the error, it was disappointing because I was rooting for Rodon. You know, I wanted to see Rodon, have a clean inning. I don't think it was an error. I think it just didn't make the play. I think it got ruled a hit, whatever. But, you know, I was talking about John Birdie and talking about Oswaldo. They rode the hot hand with Oswaldo, which is great. There were some Yankee fans that said put John Birdie in the opening day lineup, even though he landed at 2 a.m. the day of opening day. Hadn't even met his teammates yet. And I said, no. Oswaldo's been with them for a couple years. Let Oswaldo get back-to-back opening days. Reward the kid because he's a nice kid. He's a good kid. Everybody likes him. All he does is smile, and he's happy to be there. And look what he did. He helped us win that series against the Astros. I know everybody gives it to Juan Soto, obviously his debut as a Yankee, but, you know.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Such an even-keeled kid. There isn't any pressure. He has fun playing baseball. And I said last night, nobody wants the Yankees to win more than Volpe. He's the biggest Yankee fan on the team. Like him and Garrett Cole. 877-337-6666. We will run through your calls after this quick break. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back. As I'm watching Alex Verdugo round the bases, Yankee Encore, Doogie the Dog, Snoop Dogg beat. Snoop Dogg. Yeah, you guys are taking this dog stuff way too far. My boy Loogie's going to get upset. Tough, Loogie. Sorry, Loogie. There's another guy named Doogie. Took your whole swag. Took your whole shtick. I'm watching this guy bark right now in the dugout. He maximized it. He took it to another level fast. It's ours now. 877-337-6666. Keith McPherson on the Fan. You can reach me at Keith_McPherson on Twitter if you can't get through on the phone lines. I said I'm going to run through these calls, but shout out to Lou Goodman, who's writing to me. He says, love listening to you after the Yankee game. Actually, always love listening to you. One complaint. Wish Oswaldo Cabrera would start every game. Granted, he had problems last year, but I liked him in 2022. And of course, now, Lou from the Bronx, living in Cali. Now, I had this conversation. Shout out to Mark from WFAN, who pulled me into his section for a little bit. And everybody I got to meet over there. In that section, we were talking about Oswaldo because we were talking about John Birdie. When John Birdie made the error, it was disappointing because I was rooting for Rodon. You know, I wanted to see Rodon, have a clean inning. I don't think it was an error. I think it just didn't make the play. I think it got ruled a hit, whatever. But, you know, I was talking about John Birdie and talking about Oswaldo. They rode the hot hand with Oswaldo, which is great. There were some Yankee fans that said put John Birdie in the opening day lineup, even though he landed at 2 a.m. the day of opening day. Hadn't even met his teammates yet. And I said, no. Oswaldo's been with them for a couple years. Let Oswaldo get back-to-back opening days. Reward the kid because he's a nice kid. He's a good kid. Everybody likes him. All he does is smile, and he's happy to be there. And look what he did. He helped us win that series against the Astros. I know everybody gives it to Juan Soto, obviously his debut as a Yankee, but, you know, there were huge moments from Oswaldo tying the game, breaking the game up, and being that spark. And that's what I say about Oswaldo. You've heard me say this before. The kid plays with a flair. He's a spark plug. When the game gets stagnant, he can make a play. Now, it kind of cooled off, and also his glove, I don't know if his glove at third base is as consistent as John Birdie, who they literally made the trade for the night before opening day. So you can platoon those guys. You can figure out when you want to play those guys, but John Birdie's going to play. And newsflash, when DJ LeMahieu comes back, DJ's going to play because of his pedigree, because of his resume, because of his career and his contract. Oswaldo is a young guy. He's going to get the short end of the stick, and I know he's already become a fan favorite. Birdie is a 34-year-old veteran that they gave something away to get. He's going to play too. So I have no problem with it. They are winning, and they have serviceable guys right now filling that hole at third base. They're going to have even more of, you know, shuffling to do there when DJ comes back. I don't know exactly when DJ comes back, but then you got DJ. He's going to possibly be your everyday guy. And if he starts off slow, then maybe Birdie plays or Oswaldo plays or whatever. God forbid somebody goes down. Oswaldo is ready to play five different positions. and he'll be there on the bench. 877-337-6666. Let's go to Frank in Bradley Beach. What's up, Frank?
Keith, what up, my man? How are you?
I was just looking at the – I did not get to the Delta Suite tonight. I was just looking at the picture of all you guys having fun at the game tonight.
What a night. I think everything you were just saying about Oswaldo is spot on. I mean, the guy got to catch up with him a little bit after the game. He's just always ready. He's always hungry. You know, I think the interesting thing with Verdugo, bro, he has the Bronx barking. I love everything about it. And, you know, it's funny because I think with Soto and Verdugo and Stroman, you remember when Johnny Damon came to the Yankees. He got a little corporate quick.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that happened. Like, I remember it. I felt it. I don't feel that with this group.
Nah.
You know, I feel these guys are... Because
in this day and age, Frank, with the social media and the young fans and the way these things evolve and go viral, there's no stopping it. What are they going to tell them to do? No. Hey, tone it down? No, you can't. It's working.
Keith, I'm 40 and I'm barking. I'm taking videos of myself barking and putting it on Twitter because I'm so excited.
And it's not awkward at all. It feels right.
It's not. I love it, man.
It's natural.
And what else is cool, last year, if you didn't watch the game, and you looked at the box score the next morning, you could tell how the game went just by looking at what Judge did.
Oh, yeah.
This year, I feel like you look, and every night it's somebody different, and you know, the bottom of the lineup with Oswaldo and Volpe and Houston was huge, and I'll tell you what else was nice tonight, a quick, uneventful ninth from Clay Holmes.
Oh, yeah. Ian Hamilton, solid. Rodon had a good outing. I mean, Judge worked his walks. They're showing you they can get it done in different ways. Yep. They're winning in different ways. It is a team. I tip my cap to Brian Cashman. I'm not writing him an apology. I'm not doing all that. But I tip my cap to him to making the necessary changes with not just personnel, but personality on this team.
Yep. And it's fun, bro. It's fun to watch. Look, man, I know we got some stuff coming up. We got Willie Randolph coming up at Baseline Social.
Yes, sir.
Was that May 19th? Like, that's going to be a fun Yankees crowd. And I don't know, man. I'm just excited.
The vibes are high. They're where they're supposed to be. This is when we had the event with Aaron Boone. This is what we were all waiting for. This is what you ask for as a Yankee fan. Go out there, win games, play hard, represent us the right way, and it's been fun.
And Boone was right, man. He said a bunch of times, and he said, you know, we're not an 82-80 team last year. You know, and going into this year, I think the moves they made,
just the balance in the lineup. When I asked him about the lineup and changing the lineup every day, he said, well, I didn't have the balance last year.
Yep.
Now we have it.
Yep. And guys are healthy. It's fun. And, dude, don't forget, Gerrit Cole's coming back in 6 weeks, hopefully.
I cannot wait.
Dominguez is a couple months out. Imagine rotating him in as a fourth outfielder.
It can get even better.
Yep. So, look, man, hey, I'm always rooting for you and your family. There's nothing more fun than listening to the fan, Keith McPherson, after a Yankees win while I drive myself back to the Jersey Shore. I mean, what a night, man. Fun, 3-2, just fun game. So, let's go, man. It's a good day for a good day, baby.
Yes, sir.
See everybody at Baseline Social, man. Can't wait.
Appreciate you, Frank. So, Frank is a guy who has done some Yankee events with me, and he's brought Oswaldo Cabrera down the shore. That's why I say, he's a good guy. He's a good kid. And the Yankees rewarded him back-to-back opening days getting the start. That's forever. And he seized his opportunity. They rode the hot hand. He cooled off some. Now you give somebody else another opportunity. And, you know, Frank mentioned Baseline Social. Man, Baseline Social, down where we're from in the shore area, it's an ocean port at the old Fort Monmouth. It's like a Vegas sports bar dropped into an old Army base. It's a sick place to do events. And we did the meet and greet with Aaron Boone. And I asked Boone about this team. I asked Boone about the swag, the personality, the mojo, the energy that these guys were going to have. I asked him about changing the lineup every day. And, you know, he talked about the balance. And he talked about, as a manager, he's the one that's got to manage these guys' personalities. Right? Hey, Verdugo, you pimped that one a little bit too long, buddy. We didn't walk it off there. Next time, don't admire it for so long. Doogie, you got three chains. It's just a Yankee rule. There were Yankees that came before you. They weren't allowed to wear three chains. It's a one chain rule. Just tone it down a little bit. The barking, fine. The dog stuff, fine. But just, hey, Rodon, I know you don't want to come out of the game, but we got you. We got your back. We know you better than you know yourself. We know you want to prove something. We'll get there little by little. Come on. When we come get you, hand the ball over. It's working. I mean, so many Yankee fans had something to say about Marcus Stroman being signed. So far, what do you have to say about Marcus Stroman now? Anybody call me up and tell me your thoughts about Marcus Stroman. Some of you that actually said, some of you on the fan that said, don't sign that guy. He's going to be a clubhouse cancer. Oh, that guy's a bozo. No. No. Incorrect. The Yankees are winning. They're having fun. They're smiling. They look like they have joy going about their business. It feels good. It feels good to watch a team that is excited about playing and winning. All right, before we go back to the Yankee calls, because we've got plenty, let's take this call from Jonathan in Somerset. What's up, John? You're on the Fan.
Hey, how are you doing, Keith?
Good.
Just want to tell you that I appreciate your show. So I wanted to talk about the Giants draft.
Yeah, I can't wait for the draft.
Trade for a quarterback. I think they should settle at their spot or trade back. Maybe take one of the receivers, either the guy from LSU or the guy from Washington. And what do you think about taking Spencer Rattler in the third or fourth?
Oh, yeah. I read this article on Spencer Rattler. Spencer Rattler was supposed to be one of the top quarterbacks coming out. He just, I don't know, went to the same school as the top quarterback coming out, Caleb Williams. I think if he gets in the right situation, he can turn into a pretty decent NFL quarterback. But going back to what you said, you know what? There's a lot of smoke screens, smoke and mirrors right now. Because as we get closer and closer to the draft, everybody wants to know what everybody's trying to do, wants to do. There's, you know, a couple teams at the top of the draft that we know need quarterbacks. Caleb Williams, he's going to the Bears. Done. But are the Commanders taking Jaden Daniels or Drake May? You keep hearing things about Drake May. You'll regret taking him. He's not that good. This guy. So is that smoke and mirrors? Or is that like what people are really seeing evaluating his tape? I think that at six, I said this tonight at the game. I was talking to a bunch of guys about this at the game. You don't want to be picking in the top 10. You don't want to be picking at six again. The last time the Giants picked at number six, they took Daniel Jones. And look what they ended up doing with Daniel Jones. Paying Daniel Jones. Do you want to go and get a J.J. McCarthy-type project that, like, his ceiling might be Daniel Jones? Like, I don't know if J.J. McCarthy is a surefire, guaranteed NFL star quarterback. If you're picking at six, you need a star quarterback at that spot. Not a project, not an if, not a maybe. And when I looked at him in Michigan, I know he has some intangibles. He's a leader. He won. They didn't run that offense through him. He didn't carry them to the national championship. He handed the ball off. That defense was a monster. I mean, Harbaugh is selling him, but Harbaugh, of course, is going to sell him, right? Harbaugh's picking at number five. So I just think the Giants are smarter than we're giving them credit for, and I think that they're playing into this game a little bit too. I heard Shane say that he's most prepared for this draft than any other draft, which makes sense. Year three here, I think if they can get a playmaker like Malik Nabers, they're going to take him. I don't think that they're going to. Right now, they're not ready to win right now anyway. You signed Drew Lock. You will have Daniel Jones at some point. I'm not sure Tommy DeVito's definitely going to come back. But, like, you're not taking J.J. McCarthy at six when there are other talented players that you can stash for later. You take that quarterback at six if you think that quarterback's going to help you compete right now. Like a C.J. Stroud. Like a Bryce Young, but not really. You know what I'm saying? The teams that were quarterback needy and were trying to compete right now, like, look at how quickly the Texans have rebuilt with C.J. Stroud. Now he's got weapons. Now they're making trades for Danielle Hunter. Like, they got a bunch of people. I think that the Giants are in a spot where they know they're not beating the Eagles. They're not beating the Cowboys. They are actually in the rebuild. They were ahead of schedule the first year. They took a step back this year. Now they're actually in their rebuild where, yeah, J.J. McCarthy, in theory, could be a project that extends the leash of Shane and Daboll, but it also could be a big mistake. I feel like Daniel Jones was a little bit of a mistake. Still there?
Yeah, I 100% agree with you, and I think the kid from Washington is a mistake, too.
Yeah, don't think they're not taking Michael Penix Jr.
No.
If you want to take a young quarterback, take him later. I think at six, you can trade back and get another pick. There's going to be somebody that, if the Vikings really want J.J. McCarthy, let them. Sure, hey, pick up the phone. Give us your first-round pick and second-round pick.
We need draft capital. We're in a rebuild. We're not a win-now team right now.
Right, so you don't need to take J.J. McCarthy, a project at quarterback, who is all of a sudden, J.J. McCarthy was not hyped up like this through the whole football season last year. All of a sudden, he's Will Levis. All of a sudden, he's rising up the, no, thanks for the call, Jonathan. Like, and Will Levis, I think, is better than him. But you guys saw what happened to Will Levis last year. They thought Will Levis was going to the Colts. And then the Colts take Anthony Richardson, and Will Levis just fell. I was talking to some fans about the Jets with Brock Bowers. Of course, if they want to add offense and they want to get flashy and they want to get a playmaking tight end that's supposed to be a phenom at tight end, you could take him at 10. But why draft a tight end at 10? You saw Dalton Kincaid last year, and then you saw Sam Laporta. Like, you have Tyler Conklin. You have Jeremy Ruckert. I don't know. I feel like when you're drafting in the top 10, you draft the best player available that fits a position of need, and tight end to me isn't a position in the NFL where it's, I don't know, there, who's the last tight end that was drafted? Like, you could draft Kyle Pitts. What has Kyle Pitts done? Like, there's no reason to draft a tight end that high. They can't affect the game that much. I guess if you feel like Aaron Rodgers can make that kid better, I don't know. I think they should go offensive lineman. You can never have too many offensive linemen, and Tyron Smith could help a young guy that is drafted 10th overall. Tyron Smith's on a one-year deal. He can teach this young man, and when he comes up lame with a calf, with a hamstring, with a shoulder, hey, young boy, there you go. It's your time. 877-337-6666. We're rolling. We're talking football, too. Obviously, Yanks. We can take some calls on the Mets. I see some people want to talk about the Rangers-Isles game. We'll do all of that and some Knicks right after this. As I'm watching Alex Verdugo round the bases, Yankee Encore, Doogie the Dog, Snoop Dogg beat. Snoop Dogg. Yeah, you guys are taking this dog stuff way too far. My boy Loogie's gonna get upset. Tough, Loogie. Sorry, Loogie. There's another guy named Doogie. Took your whole swag. Took your whole shtick. I'm watching this guy bark right now in the dugout. He maximized it. He took it to another level fast. It's ours now. 877-337-6666. Keith McPherson on the Fan. You can reach me at Keith_McPherson on Twitter if you can't get through on the phone lines. I said I'm going to run through these calls, but shout out to Lou Goodman, who's writing to me. He says, love listening to you after the Yankee game. Actually, always love listening to you. One complaint. Wish Oswaldo Cabrera would start every game. Granted, he had problems last year, but I liked him in 2022. And of course, now, Lou from the Bronx, living in Cali. Now, I had this conversation. Shout out to Mark from WFAN, who pulled me into his section for a little bit. And everybody I got to meet over there. In that section, we were talking about Oswaldo because we were talking about John Birdie. When John Birdie made the error, it was disappointing because I was rooting for Rodon. You know, I wanted to see Rodon, have a clean inning. I don't think it was an error. I think it just didn't make the play. I think it got ruled a hit, whatever. But, you know, I was talking about John Birdie and talking about Oswaldo. They rode the hot hand with Oswaldo, which is great. There were some Yankee fans that said put John Birdie in the opening day lineup, even though he landed at 2 a.m. the day of opening day. Hadn't even met his teammates yet. And I said, no. Oswaldo's been with them for a couple years. Let Oswaldo get back-to-back opening days. Reward the kid because he's a nice kid. He's a good kid. Everybody likes him. All he does is smile, and he's happy to be there. And look what he did. He helped us win that series against the Astros. I know everybody gives it to Juan Soto, obviously his debut as a Yankee, but, you know, there were huge moments from Oswaldo tying the game, breaking the game up, and being that spark. And that's what I say about Oswaldo. You've heard me say this before. The kid plays with a flair. He's a spark plug. When the game gets stagnant, he can make a play. Now, it kind of cooled off And also his glove, I don't know if his glove at third base is as consistent as John Birdie, who they literally made the trade for the night before opening day. So you can platoon those guys. You can figure out when you want to play those guys, but John Birdie's going to play. And newsflash, when DJ LeMahieu comes back, DJ's going to play because of his pedigree, because of his resume, because of his career and his contract. Oswaldo is a young guy. He's going to get the short end of the stick, and I know he's already become a fan favorite, but Birdie is a 34-year-old veteran that they gave something away to get. He's going to play too, so I have no problem with it. They are winning, and they have serviceable guys right now filling that hole at third base. They're going to have even more of, you know, shuffling to do there when DJ comes back. I don't know exactly when DJ comes back, but then you got DJ. He's going to possibly be your everyday guy. And if he starts off slow, then maybe Birdie plays or Oswaldo plays or whatever. God forbid somebody goes down. Oswaldo is ready to play five different positions, and he'll be there on the bench. 877-337-6666. Let's go to Frank in Bradley Beach. What's up, Frank?
Keith, what up, my man? How are you?
I was just looking at the – I did not get to the Delta suite tonight. I was just looking at the picture of all you guys having fun at the game tonight.
What a night. I think – everything you were just saying about Oswaldo is spot on. I mean, the guy, got to catch up with him a little bit after the game. He's just always ready. He's always hungry. You know, I think the interesting thing with Verdugo, bro, he has the Bronx barking. I love everything about it. And, you know, it's funny because I think with Soto and Verdugo and Stroman, you remember when Johnny Damon came to the Yankees. He got a little corporate quick.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that happened. Like, I remember it. I felt it. I don't feel that with this group.
Nah.
You know, I feel these guys are, because they have that personality.
In this day and age, Frank, with the social media and the young fans and the way these things evolve and go viral, there's no stopping it. What are they going to tell them to do? No. Hey, tone it down? No, you can't. It's working.
Keith, I'm 40 and I'm barking. I'm taking videos of myself barking and putting them on Twitter. I'm so excited.
And it's not awkward at all. It feels right.
It's not. I love it, man.
It's natural.
And what else is cool, last year, if you didn't watch the game and you looked at the box score the next morning, you could tell how the game went just by looking at what Judge did.
Oh, yeah.
This year, I feel like you look, and every night it's somebody different, and, you know, the bottom of the lineup with Oswaldo and Volpe and Houston was huge, and I'll tell you what else was nice tonight. A quick, uneventful ninth from Clay Holmes.
Oh, yeah. Ian Hamilton, solid. Rodon had a good outing. I mean, Judge worked his walks. They're showing you they can get it done in different ways. Yep. They're winning in different ways. It is a team. I tip my cap to Brian Cashman. I'm not writing him an apology. I'm not doing all that. But I tip my cap to him to making the necessary changes with not just personnel but personality on this team.
Yep. And it's fun, bro. It's fun to watch. Look, man, I know we got some stuff coming up. We got Willie Randolph coming up at Baseline Social.
Yes, sir.
Was that May 19th? Like, that's going to be a fun Yankees crowd. And I don't know, man. I'm just excited.
The vibes are high. They're where they're supposed to be. This is when we had the event with Aaron Boone. This is what we were all waiting for. This is what you ask for as a Yankee fan. Go out there, win games, play hard, represent us the right way, and it's been fun to start.
And Boone was right, man. He said a bunch of times, and he said, you know, we're not an 82-80 team last year. You know, and going into this year, I think the moves they made, I mean, bro,
just the balance in the lineup. When I asked him about the lineup and changing the lineup every day, he said, well, I didn't have the balance last year.
Yep.
Now we have it.
Yep. And guys are healthy. It's fun. And, dude, don't forget, like, Garrett Cole's coming back in, 6 weeks, hopefully.
I cannot wait.
Dominguez is a couple months out. Like,
right.
Imagine rotating him in as a fourth outfielder.
It can get better. It can be even better.
Yep. So, look, man, hey, I'm always rooting for you and your family. There's nothing more fun than listening to the fan with Keith McPherson after a Yankees win while I drive myself back to the Jersey Shore. I mean, what a night, man. Fun, 3-2, just fun game. So, let's go, man. It's a good day for a good day, baby.
Yes, sir.
See everybody at Baseline Social, man. Can't wait.
Appreciate you, Frank. So, Frank is a guy who has done some Yankee events with me, and he's brought Oswaldo Cabrera down the shore. That's why I say, like, he's a good guy. He's a good kid. and the Yankees rewarded him back-to-back opening days getting the start. That's forever. And he seized his opportunity. They rode the hot hand. He cooled off some. Now you give somebody else another opportunity. And, you know, Frank mentioned Baseline Social. Man, Baseline Social, down where we're from in the shore area, it's an ocean port at the old Fort Monmouth. It's like a Vegas sports bar dropped into an old Army base. It's just a sick place to do events. And we did the meet and greet with Aaron Boone. And I asked Boone about this team. I asked Boone about the swag, the personality, the mojo, the energy that these guys were going to have. I asked him about changing the lineup every day. And, you know, he talked about the balance. And he talked about, like, as a manager, he's the one that's got to manage these guys' personalities. Right? Hey, Verdugo, you pimped that one a little bit too long, buddy. We didn't walk it off there. Next time, don't admire it for so long. Doogie, you got three chains. It's just a Yankee rule. There were Yankees that came before you. They weren't allowed to wear three chains. It's a one chain rule. Just tone it down a little bit. The barking, fine. The dog stuff, fine. But just, hey, Rodon, I know you don't want to come out of the game, but we got you. We got your back. We know you better than you know yourself. We know you want to prove something. We'll get there little by little. Come on. When we come get you, hand the ball over. It's working. I mean, so many Yankee fans had something to say about Marcus Stroman being signed. So far, what do you have to say about Marcus Stroman now? Anybody call me up and tell me your thoughts about Marcus Stroman. Some of you that actually said, some of you on The Fan that said, don't sign that guy. He's going to be a clubhouse cancer. Oh, that guy's a bozo. No. No, incorrect. The Yankees are winning. They're having fun. They're smiling. They look like they have joy going about their business. It feels good. It feels good to watch a team that is excited about playing and winning. All right, before we go back to the Yankee calls, because we've got plenty, let's take this call from Jonathan in Somerset. What's up, John? You're on The Fan.
Hey, how are you doing, Keith?
Good.
Just want to tell you that I appreciate your show. So I wanted to talk about the Giants draft.
Yeah, I can't wait for the draft.
Trade for a quarterback. I think they should settle at their spot or trade back. Maybe take one of the receivers, either the guy from LSU or the guy from Washington. And what do you think about taking Spencer Rattler in the third or fourth?
Oh, yeah. I read this article on Spencer Rattler. Spencer Rattler was supposed to be one of the top quarterbacks coming out. He just, I don't know, went to the same school as the top quarterback coming out, Caleb Williams. I think if he gets in the right situation, he can turn into a pretty decent NFL quarterback. But going back to what you said, you know what? There's a lot of smoke screens, smoke and mirrors right now. Because as we get closer and closer to the draft, everybody wants to know what everybody's trying to do, wants to do. There's, you know, a couple teams at the top of the draft that we know need quarterbacks. Caleb Williams, he's going to the Bears. Done. But are the Commanders taking Jaden Daniels or Drake May? You keep hearing things about Drake May. You'll regret taking him. He's not that good. This guy. So is that smoke and mirrors? Or is that, like, what people are really seeing evaluating his tape? I think that at six, I said this tonight at the game. I was talking to a bunch of guys about this at the game. You don't want to be picking in the top 10. You don't want to be picking at six again. The last time the Giants picked at number six, they took Daniel Jones. And look what they ended up doing with Daniel Jones. Paying Daniel Jones. Do you want to go and get a J.J. McCarthy-type project that, like, his ceiling might be Daniel Jones? Like, I don't know if J.J. McCarthy is a surefire, guaranteed NFL star quarterback. If you're picking at six, you need a star quarterback at that spot. Not a project, not an if, not a maybe. And when I looked at him in Michigan, I know he has some intangibles. He's a leader. He won. They didn't run that offense through him. He didn't carry them to the national championship. He handed the ball off. That defense was a monster. I mean, Harbaugh is selling him, but Harbaugh, of course, is going to sell him, right? Harbaugh's picking at number five. So I just think the Giants are smarter than we're giving them credit for, and I think that they're playing into this game a little bit too. I heard Shane say that he's most prepared for this draft than any other draft, which makes sense. Year three here, I think if they can get a playmaker like Malik Nabers, they're going to take him. I don't think that they're going to. Right now, they're not ready to win right now anyway. You signed Drew Lock. You will have Daniel Jones at some point. I'm not sure Tommy DeVito's definitely going to come back. But, like, you're not taking J.J. McCarthy at six when there are other talented players that you can stash for later. You take that quarterback at six if you think that quarterback's going to help you compete right now, like a C.J. Stroud, like a Bryce Young, but not really. You know what I'm saying? The teams that were quarterback needy and were trying to compete right now, like look at how quickly the Texans have rebuilt with C.J. Stroud. Now he's got weapons. Now they're making trades for Danielle Hunter. Like they got a bunch of people. I think that the Giants are in a spot where they know they're not beating the Eagles. They're not beating the Cowboys. They are actually in the rebuild. They were ahead of schedule the first year. They took a step back this year. Now they're actually in their rebuild where, yeah, J.J. McCarthy, in theory, could be a project that extends the leash of Shane and Dable, but it also could be a big mistake. I feel like Daniel Jones was a little bit of a mistake. Still there?
Yeah, I 100% agree with you, and I think the kid from Washington is a mistake too.
Yeah, they're not taking Michael Penix Jr. If you want to take a young quarterback, take him later. I think at six, you can trade back and get another pick. There's going to be somebody that, if the Vikings really want J.J. McCarthy, let them. Sure, hey, pick up the phone. Give us your first-round pick and second-round pick.
We need draft capital. We're in a rebuild. We're not a win-now team right now.
Right, so you don't need to take J.J. McCarthy, a project, that quarterback who is all of a sudden. J.J. McCarthy was not hyped up like this through the whole football season last year. All of a sudden, he's Will Levis. All of a sudden, he's rising up the... No, thanks for the call, Jonathan. Like, and Will Levis, I think, is better than him. But you guys saw what happened to Will Levis last year. They thought Will Levis was going to the Colts. And then the Colts take Anthony Richardson, and Will Levis just fell. I was talking to some fans about the Jets with Brock Bowers. Of course, if they want to add offense and they want to get flashy and they want to get a playmaking tight end that's supposed to be a phenom at tight end, you could take him at 10. But why draft the tight end at 10? You saw Dalton Kincaid last year, and then you saw Sam Laporta. Like, you have Tyler Conklin. You have Jeremy Ruckert. I don't know. I feel like when you're drafting in the top 10, you draft the best player available that fits a position of need. And tight end, to me, is in a position in the NFL where it's, I don't know. Who's the last tight end that was drafted? Like, you could draft Kyle Pitts. What has Kyle Pitts done? Like, there's no reason to draft a tight end that high. They can't affect the game that much. I guess if you feel like Aaron Rodgers can make that kid better, I don't know. I think they should go offensive lineman. You can never have too many offensive linemen. And Tyron Smith could help a young guy that is drafted 10th overall. Tyron Smith's on a one-year deal. He can teach this young man. And when he comes up lame with a calf, with a hamstring, with a shoulder, hey, young boy, there you go. It's your time. 877-337-6666. We're rolling. We're talking football, too. Obviously, Yanks. We can take some calls on the Mets. I see some people want to talk about the Rangers-Isles game. We'll do all of that and some Knicks right after this. Yeah! Right back at it on the Fan. 101.9 FM. New York City. Tuesday's almost over. Club went up on a Tuesday in the Bronx, had a good time. Another win. The Yankees win. Another series win. They're doing it, huh? After the shutout opening day, which, like, if you heard me talk about it Saturday, I'm like, oh, I felt that. I could feel that around the fifth, sixth inning. There's too much hype in the building. I've been in there too many times when the Yankees have come home from either a road trip or, a little win streak on the road, or maybe they make an acquisition for a new player, and then the fans show up ready to go against, I don't know, it could be a top opponent, the Orioles or Blue Jays or Rays, a division rival, and the Yankees lay an egg. And dud. Because it's hard to play when you're pressing. It's hard to play when you come back. And I said the Yankees went from Tampa to Texas to Arizona to New York. And it was cold on opening day. It was nice out there tonight, boy. I'm like, can we just stay here? Can we just stay with the warm weather? Like, it's a lot easier to play when you're warm, when you're sweating, when you're lathered up, when you're in the flow of the game. And yeah, these are the Miami Marlins. They're no good. I don't know what happened. It was the loss of Kim Ng. They are cooked. But whatever, they're not losing to them. They win the first two games. They win the series. And they lost that first game of the series opening day to the Blue Jays. Now they have a four-game win streak. It's another winning streak. TWTW, the will to win. They did not have that last year. They lacked the will to win. They found ways to strike out, pop up, ground out, ground into double play, and lose. It's a different year. So enjoy it, Yankee fans. And for the Knicks fans, enjoy your team as well. I mean, I don't know how far they could go. And like I said, I'm not going to tell you how far they could go, but enjoy the ride. Maybe they can get to the Eastern Conference Finals. We'll see how everything shakes out here with the standings and the seeding. Can they jump up to be the number two seed? I think that's ideally what you would want, so that potentially you could meet the Celtics, and you're about to see the Celtics in 2 days. NBA is going to start cooking up. And same thing with hockey, with the Stanley Cup playoffs. And the Rangers fans and the Isles fans. And yeah, let's get back to the phones. You guys know what we're doing. Let's go to Paul down in Memphis, Tennessee. Welcome back, Paul.
My goodness. You know,
it's fun, right? It's fun to do that.
Well, you know what? It's fun again, right? And isn't that about sports? Right? Just to make it.
Yes, it's fun. Entertainment. I didn't get into this to be miserable. Like, I like having fun.
Well, I tell you what, you have reached superhero status because I was watching your tweets and all of a sudden you're in a show. I'm like, how did that happen? It's like you're Clark Kent. You go into a phone booth and suddenly like you're a fan, and now you're like you're running the show, a great show. And I'm like, Mike.
Yo, it's just funny, Paul. Like, I've been doing this for so long. I've been going to the stadium and posting on social media, and now with the power of the fan, with the radio, it's just another medium. So a couple people were like, yo, I saw you behind home plate. I'm watching the game right now in here, waiting to see when I pop up so I can get some screenshots of it. Like, I was all over the stadium, and I always am. I'm always all over the ballpark. That's why I ask for grace. Like, Yankee Stadium security, I come in peace. I'm not doing anything. I don't mean any harm. I am in different sections saying hello to friends, and I am rooting on the Yankees, and I'm doing things like putting up a beware of dog sign and barking. I'm peaceful. I'm just having a good time, yo.
Well, I'll tell you what, that's your superhero skill right there. Hey, listen, as an Islander fan, right, watching that game tonight, I wish I was out in Elmont, only because this has now raised its level to legendary status from way back in the day when we really hated each other as fans, right? Because now all of a sudden, you know, when we start to take a look, and first of all, that third period, I felt like I was looking at the eclipse. I couldn't look directly at it.
You were scared?
I was kind of like going, oh my goodness. Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I think it's a lot of PTSD over the past 30 years or so, because, I mean, since 1983, we've not been that good. But watching Peter Laviolette and Patrick Waugh take on the questions at the end of the game about, you know, certain hits and certain things that happened, having two opposing forces there, and the emotion showed by both the Islanders and the Rangers in those last 10 seconds, Saturday's game at the Garden could be an epic start to the playoffs, because they legitimately now don't like each other because of this entire world now of saying, well, yeah, there's pressure, but at the same time, you hurt one of our guys, and we're going to come at you, which is the epitome of hockey.
Yeah.
So, you know, so 12:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at the Garden. My goodness, that's got
to
be
much. Gives it a little more juice, a little something extra to watch for, and like we started the call with, it's fun. We're having fun. That's why I started the show off saying, New York, we have teams and themes and things going on that make this exciting. It's not boring at all. Like, pick which one you want to root for, or which one you want to watch. A lot of you are Knicks, Rangers, Yankees fans.
Yes.
Good picks. Even Giants fans. Here comes the draft.
I tell you what, this, you know, after so many years of New York sports being down in the dumps, I'm reveling in this. And have a good night, Keith.
Thanks for the call, Paul. Paul down in Memphis, Tennessee, New Yorker living down there. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know who's going to win, but I mean, we have some teams that are giving us hope. 877-337-6666. Josh in the Bronx on the fan. What's up, Josh?
What's going on? What a difference a year makes, Mr. McPherson. You're going out to the ballpark. You're having fun with the Yankee fans and everything else like that. You come to WFAN. You're having fun schmoozing on the phone with the fans.
Yeah.
And The thing is, last year, man, was so, like, down and out, and you can feel the vibes, man. They've turned around and everything. Every fan over there, they're enjoying the ride, man. And, like, you know, you're going to get the Martian. You're going to get callback, man. I mean, like, you know, it can only get better. I'm not a psychic or anything or a prophet, but I'm telling you, man, you can feel the difference of the culture of this team, man.
Hope week. Optimism, yeah. Though. Like, we were hoping for them to just be alive. Now we're hoping that they just keep rolling and getting better and improving, and I think it's a reality. I think it's a real thing.
Sir, take it from here, man. I'm having a blast with you just listening to you. Thank you, Keith.
Thanks, Josh. Shout out to Josh. Josh, I got to find your Twitter. I know it's Josh Wells and then a bunch of numbers, and I think I saw you wrote on Instagram that you're getting off Twitter, taking my advice that Twitter is toxic. And there's a lot of negative, nasty people that throw stones and hide their hands on there. And, I mean, some people can't handle that. Some people need to, you know, protect their own sanity and get away from that. But, man, when I look at the Yankees and how well they're playing and how well they could play coming up with some more pieces, with DJ coming back, with Cole coming back, with Dominguez coming back, and just being in the flow of playing every day and getting better, sky's the limit. Even the Mets. People were ready to bury them. People were ready to say, this team sucks. It just was a cold couple series in Queens. Coming from Port St. Lucie to Queens, it's just a big difference. Now they're getting into the flow of games. Guys are coming around. They're not whole. We don't know. Josh just said he's not a prophet. He's not a psychic. None of us are. That's why we watch this every day and every night. That's why these shows are great on the Fan, because they're daily. They're nightly. You can change your thoughts, your opinions. You can react. You can take. You can have hot takes. You can not have a take. You can just see how it goes. I don't know. I enjoy doing this. And like I said about myself with Yankee Stadium, I've been going to Yankee Stadium for years. They found me doing this, right? Like, I've been going to Yankee Stadium, whooping it up with the fans, putting it on social media, growing my Twitter following, Instagram following, now TikTok following. It's awesome to be able to meet fans that recognize me and say, yo, I listen to you on the radio. Great, I'm on tonight. Cool. It just all works together. So 877-337-6666. ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the huge sports moments this spring. The exclusive sports book of ESPN has it all, including exclusive offers and promotions from Scott Van Pelt and Stephen A. Smith. From the playoff intensity to getting on the links and out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play. Must be 21 plus and present within the state of New Jersey to participate. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.